Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody.
It's another episode of Stossed in the Latic.
Stossed in the what?
Stossed in the Latic. I switched the first couple letters.
Okay.
Words. Never mind.
All righty.
All right. Guys, go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROSTATIC.
Static.
And you get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, and free shipping in the United States for using the promo code DROSTATIC at adamandeve.com. That's just me poking Scott in the eye right there.
No, that's okay. That's because Radiodrome is the more popular show, and everybody loves Radiodrome, and nobody likes Static.
So
because there's no Brad,
he's been on here twice.
It's not
long near, time ago.
It's not nearly enough. We need to get Brad back on the show.
Yeah, a show where he can swear.
Well, a show where he can swear and. I think that with Brad and I on the same show,
the voices get confusing.
But man, the panties just fall off.
Yeah.
Because right. I can't keep elastic in panties at all for some reason. They keep falling off of me.
Tonight, we technically got a couple of topics. It's not going to be a short take. It's more going to be a halvesies episode, kind of. What, the way I worded that's funny
halfsies episode? Oh, yeah, well, no, that's it's. But you're right. We're doing. Let's start the show with the topic that you brought up earlier.
I want to talk a little bit more about copyright and patent. And I know we talked about this to death on this show and my column and Radiodrome and all that. But new developments have landed in our laps. Like, I narrated a RoboCop documentary for RoboCopArchive.com recently, which you can now find at GeekJuiceMedia.com. Well, this was called The Road to the Remake, RoboCop Redo, and it was all about building up to the remake that comes out next year.
Right.
It was up for about 3 days, maybe not even that, maybe 2.5 days, when Columbia Pictures filed a copyright claim against it. Now, you got to remember, this was all we were using was previously released press materials.
Right.
Press photos, interviews, things of that nature. I am sick of these people that think copyright means I own it exclusively and fair use does not exist.
Yeah, fair use is one of those things.
Scott, you saw that documentary. That was 100% falls under fucking fair use,
yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
There was nothing in that was not under fucking fair use.
That's right.
That's why I'm so goddamn pissed about this.
Okay. Before we go any further, fair use, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the term, fair use and copyright basically means that a news organization or an informational program can take material from whatever source it's covering. For instance, if you and I were to do a review and a breakdown of Lord of the Rings, whole trilogy, we can take a limited time amount of scenes from the movie and use them to illustrate the points that we talk about.
Right. If it's used for the purposes of information, criticism, or satire, you're able to do that.
Exactly.
But studios, the movie studios, music companies, they fucking hate fair use. First of all, they have been lobbying to try and get fair use overturned for decades now.
Which is weird because they still send press releases to news organizations and such in order to try and get a little bit of news coverage.
But see, that is them going, we are okaying such and such and such clip for you to use.
Right.
Now, if the news organization said, yeah, but that's all just fluff, we want the rape scene, that's what we're going to talk about, then say it's 20th Century Fox would go, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
We didn't authorize that scene for you to use. It's just another way that they manipulate the media. They have been lobbying since the 80s to get the fair use provision taken out of copyright law. That way, Saturday Night Live wants to parody Harry Potter. they got to pay Warner Brothers for it.
Yep.
That if we want to play a clip from the Flash Gordon movie, we got to pay Universal for it, etc. They seem to think copyright means mine, give me mine. And that is wrong. This stuff does technically, and I'm not trying to get all Global Village on us, it does belong to all of us in a limited capacity. We all can use a copyrighted work in a limited capacity for the purpose of criticism.
Right.
Another reason that they do this is specifically to shut down criticism.
Yes.
They would pick and choose. Oh, Gene Shalit really liked our movie. We're not going to sue him. Roger Ebert tore our movie apart.
We're going to sue him.
We're going to sue him for using clips from the film.
Yes.
It's a way to stem criticism, and I'm fucking sick of it, Scott.
Yes. By the way, I also want to say well done on the documentary.
I fucked up two things, but okay.
Meh.
I said Jose Padilla instead of Padilla, and at one point when I was talking about Peter Weller, I was actually reading the script, which had a typo in it, and I said he would be interesting in donning the suit again. It should have been interested.
Right.
But I'm kicking myself for that, so you guys don't have to.
But all in all, well done. You did a pretty darn good job.
Thank you.
In fact, I remember you asking me if I wanted to help with that, and I said yes. And unfortunately,
but this was at that time when you were just insane.
We were just working like mad, and we didn't get a chance to get together and do it. So maybe next time a documentary rolls around, I'll be happy to help you out with it.
Thank you.
But nonetheless, good job. I suggest everybody go to Geek Juice Media.
Yep, Geek Juice Media can be found under the Beyond Midnight section.
Yep, and check it out. You did good.
Now, I'm going to say this out right here, Scott. Columbia Pictures, you can eat the peanuts out of my shit after this. I'm going to be writing a Sanity is Razor Thin, decrying them and talking about this copyright bullshit, and I'm not letting this shit go. You know how tenacious I can be when I sink my fangs into something.
Well, it's really kind of a dumb thing, too, because you guys never even really criticized.
No, it was all robot. Just things that were in the public record on our, you know, about the making of the movie and the problems it had and all the 900 directors it went through and things.
Right. It was a matter of this happened. That's exactly what most documentaries and what most fair use cases come down to. Somebody going, this happened. And somebody else going, we don't want people to know about that, so...
But see, here's where the sticky part comes into fair use. This doesn't qualify to us in this point, is when you talked about it, you said you can use a certain limited amount of the product.
Right.
Like the movie. That's an undefined amount. So one judge might say you use 20 minutes of a 90-minute movie, that's too much. Another judge might say you can use up to 25 minutes before I draw the line. So that's where the real gray area in fair use comes about.
I mean, the only thing that is hard and fast is you can't show the entire...
Oh, and it can't be for profit.
Right. But you can... Well, that's kind of a...
Well, I mean, okay, when you're putting something on Blip, yeah, but I mean, like, you can't go and sell that. Like, that RoboCop documentary, I cannot put that on DVD and sell it to somebody.
Right, unless you talk... Unless Columbia Pictures come and says, we'd like to put this as an extra on DVD.
Yeah.
Then they can do that, but we can't, we couldn't.
Which is why...
Which is why a lot of your local news is never... You know, I mean, there was talk in 2001... When September 11th happened, there was talk about news stations releasing DVDs
of their coverage.
They couldn't do it.
Well, and this also comes down to one of our favorite targets to take a shot at, that guy with the glasses.com. Nostalgia Critic, I think he's playing in dangerous legal waters releasing a bunch of his reviews to DVD. These are reviews he does not own.
Yeah,
and he is really pushing what fair use is when it comes to this.
And it's not just him. I've noticed a couple of Red Letter Media has been talking because we love Red Letter Media.
I love Red Letter.
We're not going to.
I love Red Letter Media.
Yeah, I adore Plinkett. They're talking about releasing some of their reviews on DVD and adding in a bunch of extras and stuff like that. And yeah, it's murky legal waters. You're getting there.
You may get your asses sued for that. You really might. Even the Angry Video Game Nerd, another favorite target of mine, he removed all of the actual movie clips when he did like his Star Trek episode and his Friday the 13th episode and his Nightmare on Elm Street episode when he put those on DVD.
Right.
Because he knew there's no way they're not going to sue me if I use their movie clips. So fair use does have a big gray area in it.
To play devil's advocate, that's part of what the studios have a huge problem with.
Right. But I'm saying I do not want, and yes, people know I do not like Doug Walker. I do not want Doug Walker being the person that's fighting this battle for me because I think he's a goddamn idiot. I do not want Doug Walker or James Rolfe to be the person that's battling in court for my right for fair use. I want someone far more competent.
Well, I will happily fight alongside them just because anyone who joins this fight, the more the merrier. But so I'm not going to denigrate them in any way, shape, or form for pushing these boundaries the way they have.
You know, like, but, and then there's the other thing, patent. Hart and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago on a Heart Attack segment. Scott, do you want to explain the podcast patent scam? And that's what I'm calling it. It's a scam that's going around.
This has popped up a couple of times. It was one company in...
But it's big now that Kevin Smith and Adam Carolla got hit with it.
We'll get there. It popped up the first time in around 2006. Time Magazine made 2005's Word of the Year podcasting. And this was also during the time when they did the whole person of the year is you.
Kind of a stupid cheap cop out, yes.
But when podcasting was really big, and it's part of our life now, but it's not the sensation it was.
Well,
because
it was something new 5 years ago. Now it's kind of like the way you'd say, well, TV wasn't really big in the 80s. Well, sure, shit was in the 50s.
Right.
You know, because it was new.
Or radio in the 30s versus radio in
your
car.
Or even the
now.
Internet in the 90s. Now it's a fact of life.
Yeah. But there was one company that popped up and said, wait a minute, we have a patent on putting audio online. So anybody that transfers audio files in any format in using any kind of distribution model, whether it be iTunes or download from a website directly or anything like that, they said playing audio through your computer is our patent.
First of all, you can't patent an idea. You can patent a specific process of an idea,
right,
or a specific device that creates the idea. You cannot patent an idea. That's illegal.
Real software can patent the .rm format for audio and video. They can patent their real player and the code. They copyright the code and patent the product. So they can copyright the code that created real player. They can patent that actual product on your machine. They cannot patent audio streaming as an idea.
And what a lot of these what this company is doing now, and like I said, I think they were foolhardy to go after someone as big of a name as Kevin Smith Adam Carolla.
It's a different company now.
But basically what they're saying is because we own the patent on podcasting,
right,
you have to pay us a license fee to be able to continue your podcast. And they've gone after a lot of little people too. And the problem is the little people got scared. These people, they have a history of getting paid off. That people go, if I give you like $5,000, will you go away and leave me alone? And that's what they want. These are con artists. These are scams. They don't want to ever see the inside of a courtroom because they know they're not going to win. They want to scare you into paying them to leave you alone.
Yes. And Adam Curry did the same thing. He didn't go after any money. He wasn't a jerk about it. But back in 2005, one of the most popular podcasters out there was Adam Curry of MTV. You know, he used to be a VJ on MTV. And
I knew somebody who interned back then with him at MTV, and they said he is one of the biggest, most arrogant jerks you could imagine back then. Yeah. I'm going to guess not much has changed. That's why I'm, from what, you know, when I see him on the news or something, I kind of go, he looks like the guy that was described to me back in the MTV days.
I went to the podcasting expo of 2006. Now I think it's like the New Media Expo or something like that. It's weird. But I went to the podcast expo of 2006 with Jason Oblivion over in California. And while the podcast expo was going on, Adam Curry and his crew literally across the street put on their own expo, called it the Unexpo, and their slogan at the time was quit your day job. And he would send people into the podcasting expo, podcast and new media expo hall, in order to talk to people and talk them out of leaving that expo and coming over to his, because that's where all the cool people were. Man, no, that's not
true.
You're
a jerk.
Yeah. Of course, you know, where is Adam Curry now? He kind of disappeared again.
Yeah.
I think he's still doing a podcast or two, but his media empire really pretty quickly died.
Well, because from what I've heard or what I've read online is basically anyone that joined up with him, he basically said, like, you know, 60% of the profits come to me. I own all the product you put out. And it was basically like, well, then get fucked.
Yeah, he never wanted his contracts that he signed with artists to ever be released online. And part of it was any work that you did for him
belongs to
him.
In
the future belongs to him. You no longer own your own creative work.
Which is bullshit. And see, like, I'd have problems with Jackalope if, like, you know, we did this show every week and then Todd owns it. That's not how Jackalope works. Todd's really cool about that.
Right. This is our show.
It just airs on his network.
I know for some reason it's become an idea that I don't like Todd or something, and that's not true. I respect the guy.
I think that very public fight you had with him online has kind of pushed that idea into the listeners' heads.
But there's a difference between me fighting with someone and me not liking them. Hi, Josh. Fight with you all the time. Still like you. Don't know why. That's one thing that I highly respect about Todd is he's like, okay, the distribution network, Jackalope, we own that. We run that. We would like you to push Jackalope, talk about other shows, do stuff like that. But the stuff that you create, this show, Lost in the Static, belongs technically to you, Josh. At this point,
I put it out there under Creative Commons, basically.
Right.
I don't mind if someone else uses something we say or whatnot, as long as the original source is credited.
It's called attribution, non-commercial.
Yeah. Any of you out there, if you want to edit parts of this out and use it in your show or in a video or something, as long as you credit us or this show specifically that... of, you know, the Lost in the Static, I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to make money with the show.
Here are the rules of our Creative Commons. Attribution, which means that you got to say that this is from Lost in the Static with Josh Hadley and Scott Murray.
Yes.
They created this, but here is what they had to say about blah. You can do that. Non-commercial, which means you can't charge people.
Yeah, you can't make money off of it while we're giving it away for free.
Not without, however, there's a clause there. If they do make money off of it, we get a tiny little, we work out a sharing deal with that.
Because I've always talked about, I mean, you and I argued about it in a way earlier episode about how, you know, the whole Creative Commons and all that, and that's what I create this under.
Yep.
I create all my shows under that.
Yep.
I mean, I made a pilot for Sirius. Obviously, Sirius will own that if they pick it up, but I will be paid a lot of money for that.
Right.
So I will be signing away my ownership of cinema when that happens.
Right.
It's cinema with an S. See what I did there?
Yes.
Clever, huh?
But nonetheless. So if you want to use the show, feel free. If you do make money off of it, talk to us.
Yes.
If you, and it's not that you would own it, but there you go.
But then back to these scam artists.
Back to these scam artists. And it's not, I can't really say scam artists. This is, there are lawyers out there that make their entire living buying up patents from other companies and stuff like that, and they just hold on to the patent. They don't do anything with it, but they hold on to the patent until something hits. And in the case of this one company that bought the patent from another patent warehouse,
but like I said, you can't patent an idea. It's the same thing that the court knocked down way back in the early set. It might even been late 60s when Ralph Baer, creator of the Odyssey, remember, you know, you could play Pong on your
yes.
TV.
Yes.
He technically patented the idea of any electronic object on a television screen controlled by the user. He basically patented the entire idea of video games. After he sued Atari in the late 70s, a judge went, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you can't patent something so fucking vague as an electronic signal on a television controlled by a user.
Right.
That's an idea.
You can patent the Odyssey. You can patent the design and the board design and everything. You can't. Yeah, you can't. I mean,
But it's the same kind of like it. Ralph Baer tried to sue Atari because they stole my patent and they didn't pay me. No, Ralph, you were being an egotistical shitbag thinking you could patent the entire idea of home video games.
Right.
You were being arrogant as hell.
Right.
And I just, this the same thing happened a couple of years ago on a lower tech level with in the horror host community in the early 2000s. Obviously, horror hosts generally show public domain movies, right?
Usually, yes.
Well, there are certain movies that are in that gray area where they're not really owned by anybody, but a certain cut of it might be, or
right.
you know, another company might have remastered it or something and right. you know, recopywritten that one. A company was sending cease and desist out to all these horror hosts saying, I own such and such movie that you showed on your show. Now, I can sue you, and you'll spend years in court, and I can possibly own your house, or you can give me $500 and I'll go away. Some host paid them because they were fucking terrified.
Right.
And it was cheaper than even going to a lawyer to see if this was real.
Yes.
That's exactly the kind of attitude these scam artists want. They want you scared. In fact, with this whole podcasting thing, I can't remember if it was Adam Carolla or Kevin Smith. They said they contacted a couple of lawyers. Most of the lawyers said, just ignore it. It will go away.
Yep.
That this, you know, they basically, even the lawyers know, this is a scam. They do not, under any circumstances, want this to go into a court of law and enter a courtroom.
Exactly. Because
if this goes before a judge or a jury, they will lose and have to pay for my fees.
Well, back when we were doing, when I was doing SaterCast, and I was just getting started, SaterCast started to get a little bit of an audience. And we were contacted by a company that basically said, you're transferring audio over the internet. You owe us money. And I was like, I did contact the family lawyer back in Indiana, and he started laughing. And just ignore it.
You know how I love to fight stuff like this?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of am hoping to get one of these. I kind of am, because you know I love to fight this kind of stuff. I love to shine a light on this kind of stuff. That's kind of the arrogant jerk I am.
Well, between your four shows, it may happen.
So I'm just kind of in a way. But you also got to remember, I got a lot of weird allies in my corner, like Hart Fisher. You really think you want to piss him off in a court of law? You know?
Eh.
So now the other thing we want to talk about for the other half of the show, Scott, you brought this up as the version of the topic we're going to talk about.
Right.
Initially, now we are recording this the day after the Chris Donner fiasco on live television.
Right. Somebody saw his mom drinking wine and got all pissed about that or something.
Well, I was talking to Scott about it, about how it's clear it's an LAPD conspiracy, and we started talking about the media, and he got the idea, trial by media.
This is a very serious thing today. And it's you brought up a great example from a few years ago of the Duke lacrosse team.
Yes, the Duke lacrosse team. Turns out they didn't rape anybody. It was all fraud. It was fraud committed by the DA. The DA completely withheld. He knew of the evidence that cleared them, and he buried it from the defense. So that's why he is no longer a lawyer, because he's been disbarred.
For those of you that don't know, a while back, the Duke lacrosse team was accused by a young lady that basically, in a hotel room, they gang raped her.
Yes.
And there were all kinds of seedy allegations and great stories and a lot of titillation. And it was.
And they maintained their innocence the entire time.
Yes. And they maintained their innocence the entire time. But unfortunately, because of the type of story this was, the media really took off with it.
Oh, I mean, yes.
Rape is in there, which is always a key word.
The fact that it was a bunch of white boys that were just raping a black girl.
Black girl, which is the reverse of unfortunate stereotypes. And the fact that most of these
were from rich families.
Yeah, rich families.
You've got that privileged, I can get away with anything kind of angle that a lot of the media went with.
And from a very widely known university. And I remember
that in the last few years prior to that did not have the best reputation at that point either.
Right, right. And so the Duke lacrosse team maintained their innocence the entire time. Ends up that it was basically a fabricated story.
Yeah. She basically made it all up. But, and see, to me, the real story was the DA's story.
Yes.
The fact that he knew about this, and he was running for, I can't remember if it, I think he was just running for re-election.
It was for some office. Yeah. I believe
and so he said, if this case tanks, I'm never going to get elected.
Yep.
So he gambled that I'm going to gamble on sending 6 white boys to prison for a fucking crime that they did not commit. So I can get reelected.
Yep.
That to me is just scumbaggery on a massive level. Thankfully, he got found out.
Got found out, got disbarred.
I think he got sued by most of their families.
Yes,
too.
And he
fucked himself.
He is the walking embodiment of the word disgraced.
Yeah.
At this point.
And but the point is, there are a lot of people, even today, you see it even like on Fox News. Which I know is not a bastion of, you know, quality to begin with, but even on Fox News, they still talk about the Duke lacrosse players as if they raped this girl.
Yeah, and it's become a joke in many popular culture references, and it started out as a joke in those references and stuff before the truth came out, but the truth came out, and all of a sudden the media. It wasn't interesting.
It wasn't
anymore.
A story anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people even followed? I think his name was Nayun or something like that. How many people even followed his disbarment and his disgrace and his being kicked out of office?
It became
very few. It was like, oh, it's not sensational anymore. Next.
It was a C block mention.
Yeah.
You know, here's this story about Duke lacrosse. And speaking of lacrosse, over to sports with Tim. You know, yeah. And it was.
But you've got that now with Dorner. Now, like I said, as we're recording this, maybe new information comes out before this airs, but as we're recording it, this is the day after the cabin fire.
Right.
Now, for those that don't know, what we know is Dorner killed two people, threatened to kill other police officers and their families. He's an ex-police officer who said after he filed a brutality claim against another officer. Basically, he was ostracized,
yes.
And management started giving him poor performance reviews. And it was basically, you cross that blue wall,
yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
So he went a little crazy, you know. And basically, the LAPD, it's fucking California cowboy times with them. In the week that they were searching for him, they shot 7 innocent people, Scott. And this is not up for debate, okay?
No, this
part is not up for debate. We're not even getting to my speculation yet. They shot 7 different people, most of them white. Dorner is black. So how do you confuse 2 white old ladies sitting in a van delivering newspapers, which is not even the same kind of truck that Dorner was supposedly driving, and they just open fire? No warning. And at one point, one cop even T-boned a car that he thought was Dorner's and started shooting into it and started screaming. A witness claims he heard him screaming, I got him, I got him, I got him. The LAPD was hunting Dorner.
Yes.
No matter what he did, There was no way he was ever going to, they were going to take him alive. They were out to kill him. That is not the way the police are supposed to operate, Scott. You get your day in court. And then just last night from when we're recording this, there's that there's that line on the police radio that CBS News accidentally released on their live feed where they've got the cabin surrounded. And right before it mysteriously bursts into flames, which, by the way, is being blamed on Dorner that he set the cabin on fire himself.
Waco.
There's a police officer that can clearly be heard on the scanner going, "We're going to burn this motherfucker. We're going to make him burn."
Right.
These cops were out for blood. It was, this fucker's going to pay. And I'm sick of this shit. Which to me says, Scott, there was something they did not want Dorner telling the media. You don't go this far and this blatantly violating the law.
See, now we're getting into your speculation.
Unless you have something to hide. And there's also, we get to tie this back into the media, CNN was covering everything live from their helicopter last night. Well, the police ordered CNN to cut the feed right before the house started burning. There's only been two other times I can think of that happened.
Right.
Waco, as you already pointed out.
Yep.
And the capture of Ted Kaczynski. Both times, something that the law enforcement community did not want the media to know about. That says right there, they are hiding something. Then in the press conference following this, the chief of police keeps telling the reporters Dorner's crimes and his crimes. They keep mentioning his crimes as if he'd been convicted of something. I'm sorry, I thought he was accused of killing two police officers. He hadn't seen his day in court yet. Aren't you innocent until proven guilty? No, to the LAPD, he was guilty, and we're gonna put this mad dog down. This is a conspiracy, plain and simple. Go ahead.
You're right and you're wrong. Number one, yeah, the reason the cutting of the feed, asking CNN to cut the feed is
ordering, not asking. They were told to.
Right. Ordering CNN to cut the feed is fishy at best. Yeah, I think that there is something in there, and
we're going to make this motherfucker burn.
I think that the cops acted, one, as bad police officers. That's not how a police officer is supposed to act. Two, like humans. I think that in their minds and in a lot of people's minds across this country, due to the media coverage, the truth is, even the news organizations stopped saying accused of or allegedly.
Yeah, you're basically in the media, yeah. And especially with the cable talking heads, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and see, but they can get away with it because that can be called commentary or opinion and not news.
But
so they don't legally have to.
Even in their minds and in the cops' minds, he was no longer accused. He had done it. And to tell you the truth, if I'm part of a gang, which
is what the LAPD is.
That's what all police officers are. They are a legally sanctioned and legally bound gang of individuals that are hired by the people of a given community to protect and police said community.
Which is why, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, I think Jello Biafra had a great idea. Police officers should have to be elected by the members of their community. Then we'll see if they start pushing around people and handing out tickets all willy-nilly, huh?
Yeah, but at the same time, that also takes a lot of power that police need away from them.
Well, okay, then how about this argument? Something that has been brought up to the LAPD again and again and again and again, LA and New York specifically, cameras on every police officer. Little like lipstick cameras are so inexpensive now that the ACLU has been wanting cameras put on every police officer, records everything that they do. For one thing, it would keep them honest.
Yep.
Two, it would allow for their supervisors to do real performance reviews.
Yes.
Two, it would stop them from being accused of something they didn't do.
Yes.
And three, that tape would be admissible in court as evidence against the criminal. So why don't they want it? Every single police union is, no, 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 it's a violation of their rights to have to wear a camera. To me, I'm sorry, if you're licensed to shoot me, I think you can fucking wear a camera. That means to me you're hiding something. There's no reason that a police officer cannot be on camera.
So long as they're acting as a police officer should. And let's be honest, even police here in Green Bay, you wouldn't believe how many times I've been going to work and I'll see a police car roll up to a red light, slow down, hit his lights, go through the intersection, turn his lights off. And go on.
Yeah, and that's why they don't want to be wired, because it'll put them on the same level as everybody else. A cop wants to feel that he is better than you because he has that authority to shoot you.
And that's an unfortunate thing that they're discovering about police officers in general. There's a certain personality type that becomes a police officer.
And I hate to say this, it's a bully type.
A lot of them are. A lot of them are. There are exceptions. I'm not saying that every cop is evil. I'm not either.
It might sound like I am. I'm not. But for every... Let's say all cops were camered, okay?
Okay.
For every cop that would be caught doing something wrong, those cameras would probably show five cops that are doing their job as they're supposed to.
Exactly.
So I don't see, explain to me why it's a bad thing. Why do the police unions want to keep cameras off cops? Why do the police unions, in some communities do they lobby that it's illegal for a citizen to film a cop doing his job on their cell phone? Hiding something. You are out in public doing something like that. I can film my neighbor working on his car. Why cannot I not film a police officer pulling someone over? That means you are at least giving the illusion that you are doing something you don't want seen.
Yes.
To me, there is no downside to wiring the LAPD.
And I'm not, you keep saying LAPD.
That's because the Dorner thing is fresh.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to limit it to the LAPD. I think, you know, one of the great things that we've gotten are dash cams. Most police officers, most police cruisers today have cameras mounted on their dash.
And you know what? The police unions fought that for a decade, too.
And they fought that for a long, long time. And they have actually proven a blessing. Not only, yeah, you get examples of cops being idiots, like the one that pulled over an old lady for speeding and like threw open her door at gunpoint
and
dragged her out.
And it turned out he'd had a fight with his wife earlier that day, so he was
taking it out.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, then that fucker, isn't that what psychological screenings are for?
Yeah.
People always go, oh, the cops are under so much pressure. Then shouldn't they have to see a shrink once a week? Shouldn't that kind of be part of the job that you signed up for?
Here's the unfortunate thing, and this is true of veterans of the armed forces. If they come back and they're facing PTSD and stuff like that, and Marines, this is particularly bad, and I'm going to speak of Marines because I know a few. If you come back and you're facing PTSD and trauma from whatever you witnessed or took part in across the pond.
All these things I've done, you know?
Yeah. And if you go see a psychotherapist, which is sanctioned and paid for by the armed forces.
I actually think it's required in some cases. Shot somebody, it is.
Nope. No. It isn't. And the reason it isn't is because even though this option is available to you, if you take advantage of it, you are looked down upon by your fellow Marines. You are looked down upon, and a few have faced dishonorable discharges simply for seeing a psychotherapist. It's a sign of not being manly.
Yeah, and that totally explains, I'm not discounting what you're saying, but that totally explains why the armed forces has the highest suicide rate of any group out there, because it's so unmanly, but it's manly to put a gun in your fucking mouth.
Now,
huh?
Police officers, when you're dealing with a civilian police officer, meaning someone who's not in the armed forces, yes, they are required if they take a life in the line of duty.
No, not even take a life. If they shoot somebody.
If they attempt to take a life, which, let's face it, that's what shooting is. Period. You want to kill somebody, you have a tool.
Most
to do
cops
so,
don't try
do
to
it.
Shoot you in the kneecap. They shoot you in the face.
Right. Well, actually, center mass.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, you always hear the argument, oh, they're just trying to disable him or shoot him in the leg.
Anytime that you discharge your weapon in the line of duty, you're required to see a psychotherapist. And most of them go for their minimum requirement
and then get
and
back
don't really
on duty.
Pay attention and then get back on duty. And it's the same kind of an attitude. It's that manly type of attitude. But my point with the dash cams and my point with all of this being required to be released to the public eye, not just the media, but courts that are on camera all the time, that's you can request a Freedom of Information Act and get those tapes and stuff like that. Dash cams also show I believe it was a Massachusetts police officer, pulled a guy over for speeding, and he walks up, and this guy just opens up on him, just screams at him, calls him every name.
What? The guy that like pulls his rearview mirror off the thing and throws it at the cop and everything?
No, not that one.
Okay,
but
I've seen that video.
And the police officer remains completely calm, and he's like, well, sir, the reason I pulled you over is blah, 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 and blah, and you've done this. And the guy is just openly screaming at him, and the police officer just quietly writes the ticket and goes, sir, I'm giving you a citation. This is what you did. And the guy grabs the ticket out of his hand and tears it up and throws it on the ground.
Yeah, no, we're thinking of the same one, yeah.
And the cop goes on going, I am now issuing you a citation
for littering. Yes.
Sir, I'd like you to get out of your vehicle and pick the... And he remains quite literally using this kind of a voice the entire time.
And I always pictured him rolling his eyes at the same time, too.
Oh, well, yeah, mentally he's going, oh, God, what the hell is this guy's problem? I'd like to, you know, mentally I'm sure he's going, I would love to pull him out of this Jeep and just beat the hell out of him right now for being a dick.
But then there's also the case that just came up about all the, I think it was New Jersey police officers, an entire department that didn't care. They weren't responding to calls. The IAB was on them. Internal Affairs was watching them. They got him on video. They got a call of a choking baby. And all the officers are like, en route, all three of them, including the two cops and a supervisor, that they were at a cafe. They just sit down, start drinking their coffee.
Yeah.
Took them over 7 minutes before they even went to the car and got there, while another officer from all the way across town rushed there.
Right.
Did you realize in the time that these people were fucking around and didn't want to miss their coffee break, that baby could have died? And they kept... They had followed these officers around for weeks. They responded to almost zero calls, even though they called in and said they were en route.
Right.
Some of them were seeing their boyfriends and girlfriends. And it's like, okay. And you know what? Okay, they got fired. Good. They're suing to get their jobs back.
Yeah.
That's the... Okay, I do not want that person policing my community.
No, you don't. But that's why you and I agree on the cameras. That's why you and I, this is a rare moment. We agree. I agree with you on the cameras. But I think that not only will it show us the bad cops that are out there, but I think the cameras will also show us the good cops. And I think that there's a lot of stuff that cops do that they don't get commendation for.
Into my fair share of really good officers.
Oh yeah, I've met quite a few of them,
and I've run into my share of fucking jackasses.
Yes,
I've been the victim of one of them. One of them, he lived across the street from me when I grew up.
Yeah,
and so he knew I was kind of a dirtbag, and so when I got my license, it's funny how I got pulled over at least two or three times a week by him. He was just harassing me.
Yeah.
Until my mom called the chief, and the chief drove his fucking fist up this guy's ass. All of a sudden, I'm not getting pulled over anymore.
Yeah.
Funny that, you know?
It's small town cops are also really weird. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm in Green Bay and not Sturgeon.
That it's big enough that...
It's big enough that I can meet police officers that I don't know. I also, you know, I meet police officers and I'm sorry, officer, but you're right. I was speeding. I didn't realize that the... speed limited change. This happened to me the other day.
I remember when you worked at 26 and the guy let you off because his wife always watched the morning show.
Yes.
I remember you telling me that.
Yes. He let me off because his wife always watched the morning show, and I
and you were wearing like the NBC 26 cap or something.
No, I had made a couple of appearances on camera accidentally. Thank you, Brett.
Brett Hatch, what a
he's a nice guy, just kind of out there.
Hardcore Christian, ultra conspiracy theorist, white rapper. I wish I were making this up.
Who believed in aliens and visitation. And
he actually, remember how he got in trouble and had to buy that new table at 26 when he carved Ron Paul for life? Yes. into like one of the tables?
One of the set tables.
I mean, this guy was, okay.
He was a special kid. But nonetheless, but It's been more times than what I got pulled over just a while back, and the guy's like, well, yeah, the speed limit switched to 55, and this was late at night. And I just explained to him, I said, look, this is a work rental car. I'm coming back to the office to drop these people off. We've been counting all day. I'm tired. I apologize. I will slow down. And, you know, and he goes, which way are you going? I said, I'm traveling east. I was going west at the time. I said, I'm an eastward traveler. He shakes my hand in a very special way and simply looks, and on the written warning, he left his little Masonic Lodge note and handed it to me. And he's like, slow down. I'm not going to do this again.
I got back when I worked at 26, I was really, really sleep deprived.
Yes.
And, you know, I had that long route. This is before they put in the double lane, so it took an extra 20 minutes or so for me to get home. And there were times where I was just dozing off behind the wheel, and I could just feel, I can't make it home. So I'd pull over and take a little, you know, 10 or 15
minutes. I've done that
vehicle. All of a sudden, the cop's knocking on my window, and he's, you know, thinking I'm drunk, obviously. And I explain it to him. And he was going to give me a citation for something. And I go, would you rather have me sleeping here or falling asleep behind the wheel and you coming to my accident scene? And he's kind of like, yeah, you got a point, actually, you know? Yeah, so he kind of crumpled up the thing he just started. And it's like, you got a point. You know, I'd rather you sleep here than fall asleep while driving.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that in the work vehicle. You know, I'll hit an exit. And you see semi-drivers do this all the time. Cat almost fell off my lap.
I know she didn't gauge her placement very well there.
But you'll see a semi-trailer pull off on the exit, pull over on the side, and they just sit there for a while because they're required after
so many hours
to get a nap. And I've done that in the work vehicle. Does anybody else want to drive? No. We all want to. I got in an argument with a guy once who was just like, we want to get home. You're going to drive us home. Do you want to drive? No, none of us.
I'm going to get in an accident if you make me drive.
And so I finally said, you know, would you like to get home a little bit later or would you like to not get home at all? And I've pulled over on the exit on the shoulder and
give me 10.
And slept. And yeah, same thing. Police officers have come up, and the vast majority of them, they were kind of left that whole trial by media thing and started talking about the police, but that's okay. The vast majority of them are like, are you okay? And I explain what's going on, and they're like, ah. I've even had a couple go, thank you for pulling over. Would you like me to help you get back on the highway? You know, there have been a couple. No, you're not going to sleep on my exit. You're not going to do this. You either pull over and get a hotel or you move on.
Yeah, I've run into those too.
I move on for, you know, a mile or two and pull over and
do it again. But let's swing us back to trial by media quick. I think you were saying it's really bad today, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think the height of trial by media was all the stuff with hard copy and all that in the 90s.
I agree.
That to me was the height. Because I mean, like, it didn't matter what Amy Fisher actually did. 99% of the country was sure what she did,
right,
whether that was factual or not, due to the media coverage.
I think that there is one problem, though, and that is that you can look at things like Hard Copy and A Current Affair and that kind of show that popped up in the 90s, and at least after a while, we started going, oh, these are jokes. They started becoming jokes of themselves.
Yeah, they lapsed into self-parody.
And unfortunately, today's trial by media is done by MSNBC and Fox and CNN and all of these things that somehow come across as more legitimate news sources. That's going to change, I think. I think people are
going to... You think it's going to drag the credibility of MSNBC down when they've got somebody that's just like their version of Bill O'Reilly? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, look at Fox News. Let's leave politics totally out of it. When you've got idiots, and this is a completely bipartisan assessment of these people, idiots like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly on there saying things that are 100% false for the purpose of being sensationalistic, that hurts the entire tapestry of Fox News.
It, not only does it hurt the entire tapestry of Fox News, but you end up with networks like CNN, who
used to be credible.
Very highly respected when they started out.
Even in the 90s, they were highly credible.
But you have CNN, who has to compete with the ratings of these idiots because people watch these idiots.
Because Fox is the highest rated cable network, right, or cable news network, which makes no sense.
So you end up hurting the legitimate sources as well. And it pops back around that some of our last legitimate sources of news is going to be citizen journalism.
Which the media doesn't want because it's putting them out of business.
Right.
The authority doesn't want because, like, cops don't want you videotaping them.
Right.
So it's kind of, we want the tabloidization of America, of the American media, really. You know, we want the tabloidization, you know, if that's even a term. Somebody really liked the fact that I used the jackassification of youth. They're like, I really liked it. I've never heard jackassification before.
Well, yeah. I don't think we want that as a whole.
I think, but as a society, that seems like what we want.
You're confusing terms. If you ask anybody, I don't think it's what they want. I think that they want a legitimate news source out there. We need a legitimate news source out there. We need a trusted name. What we watch is totally different.
And see, I think I've only seen some. I don't know if they're completely balanced like this. I hate to say it, but the American division of Russia today seems to be the most balanced because they attack everybody.
Yeah, the American division
of Russia today, for those of you that don't know, I think it's like RT.com or something like that.
Yeah.
They seem to be what CNN used to be.
And frankly, well, I think that your last bits of legitimate news outlets are and this is so weird, but the ones that don't answer to sponsors, the BBC, the CBC,
the Ferners,
the ABC, and not American Broadcasting Corporation, but the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Ferners.
You have to go to foreign sources in order to get a truly level and balanced view of U.S. news. I don't think there's one left in the U.S., because they all answer to sponsors.
And it's all a ratings war.
Nope, there is.
What?
There are two, PBS and NPR. That's it.
Eh, PBS and NPR are still both kind of...
They sway liberal a little bit.
But they also still kind of answer to sponsors, too, because they're public, so if people don't like what they're doing and they're not getting any donations, they're going to change what they're doing to get the donations. So that's...
But I
the
don't,
same ideal.
But what I'm saying is, I still think that they're still about as level as you can get, and I think they're the last ones.
All right, we got a minute 20 left, so we want to say whether you agree with us or not, we're right.
No, the truth is, we want to hear.
It was a joke.
I know. We want to hear your side. You know, that was very Fox of you. We want to hear your side.
Obama can suck my dick.
LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com or hit facebook.com/LostInTheStatic and let us know what you think. Where do you guys get your legitimate news? Those that listen in England, Australia, and others with state-sponsored media and news outlets, am I wrong? Which might be.
Yeah, it might be just the way we see the BBC.
It might just be
It might be some of our British listeners going, they're so full of shit on the BBC. What are you talking about?
Actually, our British listeners are going, what are you talking about? They just hire pedophiles. Yeah. But nonetheless, we do want to hear from you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you very much for joining us this week.
I'm yawning again.
Yeah, you're tired, and I've worked an 18-hour day, so I'm dead. So,
God damn it.
Nonetheless, thanks a lot. We will see you guys next week.
I just farted.
Bless you, Josh. Have a good day. Bye, everybody.